I want to preach about my three favorite subjects today: Jesus, the lost, and bringing the lost to Jesus. Through encounters with Him, because He's still in the miracle business. I don't know what you think about miracles. Mark talked the other day about Jesus taking away tumors, and I believe that, or curing cancer, and I believe that. But those aren't any greater a miracle than a changed life through Jesus. Evangelist. Don't raise your hands for this, but how many of you really want to be an evangelist? I didn't either. Some scary stuff. Evangelism's part of growing the kingdom, though. And I want you to know that I talk to a lot of people outside the doors of this church, and they don't know what Jesus means to us. They don't know that they need Him. They don't know what He has to offer. If they knew, they would beat the doors of this church down because we couldn't hold them out, because they would be desperate for what He has to give them. They don't know. We know, and it's our job to tell them. I put this scripture in here the other day in Luke 8, verse 47, because this woman reminds me of me. And she's my reluctant evangelist. She knew she needed Jesus' touch. She knew that she needed an encounter with Jesus. And she fought through the crowd to get to Him. And she touched His cloak and she was healed. She didn't want to tell anyone. Verse 47, the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell to His feet. In the presence of all the people, she told them why she had touched them and how she had been instantly healed. Sometimes I think we forget that salvation comes with an obligation. Yes, it's free, but we have an obligation to Jesus to share what He's done for us. So I'm going to share some people's stories with you. And then I'm going to talk some more. Did the Cowboys play today? Huh?
Yesterday.
Good. I got plenty of time. Speaking of stories, I want to introduce you to some changed lives. We have a program here at this church called Celebrate Recovery, and I've been blessed to lead that program through Jesus' strength and wisdom, because if I was leading it, I'll tell you what happened the first time I tried to lead it. We had about 20 people there, and I spoke to them, and when the night was over and the next week came, we were down to 3. That's what happens when Jesus isn't involved, when you rely on your own power rather than His, your own strength rather than His. I got a call some months ago from a couple in this church, and some of y'all may know them, and I have permission to use their names, and it's Kathy and Rich. And Kathy called me, and Kathy was crying. It broke my heart, the tears she had. She had a son that needed Celebrate Recovery, that needed to be restored to his relationship that he had had in the past with his Jesus. Now, I don't believe for one minute that salvation can be lost. I need to make that point. She called me and she was crushed. And her son wouldn't come. And I said, Kathy, you and your husband need Celebrate Recovery. And she, like most of you, think that Celebrate Recovery is this program for alcoholics and addicts, and it's not. It's so much more than that. It's for the lonely, the tired, the broken, the codependents, the angry people, people that have lost their way. It's for people with a hurt. We've all known hurt. It's for people that need healing. honestly, Celebrate Recovery is for every one of us. And I will tell you that not one person that I have ever known has gone through Celebrate Recovery and wasn't changed. And if you think it's just for alcoholics and drug addicts, Mark Forrest went through Celebrate Recovery, and I know he doesn't have those problems. Just wanted to say that. Kathy and Rich came and they found some healing. And they found the thing that is inescapably the greatest thing about CR. They found love. They didn't find any judgment. They could say anything they wanted. And they found love. And they came for a few weeks and we kind of got excited about them coming. And they called and said their son was getting out of the hospital and that he was going to come too. And we made all these preparations looking forward to that day when he would get there. That night or the next Tuesday, they got a call while we were in the service that their son had gone back to the hospital. And we thought he was getting out in a day or so. But he didn't. He died before he got there. And that's a great tragedy. But I know this awesome God that's always at work. Sometimes we don't see where he's going. But he's always at work. I want you to remember Kathy and Rich later. I want to introduce you to some people from Celebrate Recovery that have been changed by encounters with Jesus Christ. I want to introduce you to Linda. We have her picture here. Her husband approved this picture. She didn't. So, y'all may know Linda and her husband, Dennis. I mean, we at Celebrate Recovery and before that have been working with Dennis on his recovery for some 22 years. And when I saw Linda 2 years ago, Dennis didn't have it. And I encountered Linda on the sidewalk. And you can counter in people that are broken anywhere in your life if you just open your eyes to see. Ask God to open your eyes to see. Linda was a Christian, but Christians get broken too. And she was broken, and as she came down the sidewalk, I was the last person she wanted to see, I promise you. Tears streaming down her face, her eyes swollen shut. I don't know how to do the histrionics properly, but she was broken and hopeless. I said, Linda, you need to come to CR. And she said, it's my husband that has the problem. And I said, sweetheart, you are broken. And you need to be restored. And his recovery has nothing to do with yours. We have a class for that called codependency. And Linda leads it. Just so you know. Today, 2 years later, Linda's a victory in Jesus' eyes. She had no friends. She has plenty. She was scared and lonely and had covered herself with a prison that she built so no one could get in. And Jesus broke those walls down. And today she's free. And she believes, as I do, that her recovery has nothing to do with his. Next, I want to talk to you about Don and Ann. You may see Don and Ann all over the church. And I've known them too for 20, 25 years. And I assure you, they don't have problems with alcohol and drugs. But Don knew he needed something. And he needed Jesus. And they tried another church, and it wasn't for them. And God told Don to call me. And there again, I guarantee you, I'm the last person he wanted to call. And he's told me that. But he called anyway. And he said, I don't want to come up there. You and Dennis told me about that place 20 years ago. And that's the last place I want to go. But God said, come, and I'm coming. And that first night I saw Don and his wife Ann with tears in their eyes. Because Jesus, they encountered him there. And he touched them. And shortly we baptized them here in this church. And I said you might see them because Ann went on to work at the church. She has a job here now. So that she gets exposed to the Jesus in you as often as she can. These are victories for Jesus. Don, I know he's at Lowe's and Fish's volunteering. And those people wouldn't be here if Jesus hadn't touched them. Now we have, I'm going to tell you about one more. We have this new initiative at Celebrate Recovery where we work with families that have had their children taken away. And the family I'm going to talk to you about had their children taken away because the mother thought enough of her children to call the police on them own selves. But we saw her come to Celebrate Recovery and start to change as she encountered Jesus over and over again. And one night, I can't remember where, people get saved all over the place down there. The women's bathroom's one of the favorite places. Don't ask me why, but people get saved in the bathroom all the time. The parking lot's another. And I can't tell you where or when Crystal was saved and baptized here in this church. And we saw the changes that Jesus was making in her. And part of this program that we, this initiative that we have that y'all support whether you know about it or not, is we meet with CPS, we meet with CASA, we meet with the attorneys, we meet at the courthouse, and we develop a plan for the family restoration. And in all of that plan, Jesus is always the number one thing. And Crystal worked hard, and she worked, and we saw that she was deserving of help. Again and again, and part of this program was she had to have a house for these children to come home to, and we went to her house one night to inspect it. I think we have a picture of it. It wasn't beautiful. I was walking through the house, and there was not a lot of carpet on the floor, and I leaned on a wall, and it went out with me, kind of like an accordion or a doggy door, and I went, you know, this is beyond our capacity to do. But you know what? As I prayed, I said to myself, God can do this. Amen. So we made a commitment to help Crystal. And I will tell you, no one worked harder on that house than she did. The third or fourth night, I was kind of admiring our work. And I stepped back and fell through the floor. Taught me not to admire my stuff. You know, as I crawled out of there, I'm kind of old now, and it hurt. And as I crawled out of there, we committed to putting in new floors too, and we went to a carpet store, and we got old carpet, and one of our people cut the bad pieces out, and we sewed it back together, or seamed it, or whatever they do, and you know, she got new carpet. And I will tell you, at the end, she came to me and she said, this is the best home I've ever lived in. And she got her kids back. All three of them. Beautiful as they are. There's a picture of her and her children somewhere up there. Beautiful as they are. But now she's got three kids and no car. We loaned her one of ours for a little while, and she prayed, and she bought a little car for $400 that didn't even make it home. We prayed because we can't buy a car. God can. Remember Rich and Kathy? After their son passed, they called me and said, our son had a car, and we would like his memory to live on. Do you know a deserving family that needs a car? And Crystal got her very first car. Because my God can make a miracle out of a tragedy. That's the kind of God I know. I'm going to lose this mic any minute now. That's okay, I'll just yell at you. And I did. My Jesus is in the miracle business. Changed lives. You can read about them in the New Testament. Michael, you're going to have to bring me a piece of tape or something, buddy. I broke your stuff. And I'm not paying for it. Change lives. You can read about them in the New Testament, or you can do what Jesus has commanded you to do and be a part of changing those lives by sharing the gospel that Jesus so freely gave you. Say, I don't want to be an evangelist. Neither did I. I will tell you real quickly, maybe. Thank goodness it's not a Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction. We don't need one of those. You're the bomb.
That's what they tell me.
Oh, thank you very much. Steve Quinn. He does have a purpose here after all. What can I say? We love him. We love him. And he will get me back, I'm sure. Maybe you're saying, I can't do that. I can't tell someone about Jesus. I can here at church with my Christian friends because that's a safe place, but I can't do it out there. Jesus can. Tell you, the first time I led someone to Jesus, it was many years ago. And this isn't in the 400 pages I cut, and it's still too long. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway. The very first person I led to Jesus, I had been working with this young man for quite some time, and he showed up at my house, and I knew what was coming, and my eyes got that big. And I was scared to death. And he came over, and he said, I want to know Jesus. And I reached down, and I grabbed his hand, not because it was the right thing to do, because I needed him to steady me. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then I looked at him and I said, maybe we ought to get on our knees. Not because it was the right thing to do, but I was scared I was going to fall down. We got on our knees and I said, Jesus, I don't know. Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. He said, you don't worry about what to say. I will give you the words. And I will tell you that's the secret to evangelism. Is you don't rely on you. You rely on him to give you the words that you will speak. And on the 100th person I led to Jesus, I did the same thing. I didn't shake anymore, but I sure asked God to give me the words. Because I don't have them. I don't have the words to give you this morning, but Jesus does. I'm going to move to John and the Samaritan woman, and I'm going to do this real quick. I got 8 minutes. Does that say 3 hours and 8 minutes? No, it doesn't. Okay, just checking. Jesus at the well with a Samaritan woman. Jesus starts a conversion in the most beautiful ways. He says, will you give me a drink of water? And I say that because every transformation that I have been involved in started with somebody taking the time to talk to someone. They didn't hit them in the head with Jesus. I was at the zoo the other day and a lady came up and started blathering about Jesus, and I'm a pastor and it made me uncomfortable. You can start with a question in your sphere of influence. There are people who need to know Jesus, I promise you. And if there's not, you need to get new friends. Because you need them in your life, and they need you in theirs. God wants you to make an investment in someone's eternity. And in this passage, which I don't have time to preach all of, you will find how Jesus does it. He asks for something. He starts a conversation. And later on, he talks to her about who he is. And that lady does what every new Christian that I know does. She goes and tells someone. I think sometimes we forget that that's our mission. Sometimes we get satiated in our lives and we forget that that's why we're here. Is to tell someone what Jesus has done for us. I'm going to leave you with one last story. And I know there's not a lot of theology in here. There's not a lot of scripture. But I'm giving you what God has put on my heart to give you. And I hope in one of your lives it does something to change your future and the future of others. I walked through Walmart some months ago. Yeah, this isn't a commercial for them. I walked through Walmart some months ago and I was walking out as I've done 1,000 times and I looked to the right and there's a board that I have walked past 1,000 times full of children that have been lost. This time God spoke to me. And I went over and I put my hand on those children and I prayed. And I cried. And it broke my heart for them because it breaks His heart for them. I want to ask you a question. If you walked out of Walmart and your child was gone or your grandchild was gone, what would you do? After the initial panic, you would run up and down the aisles in the cars and you would call your friends and your neighbors and you would be relentless in pursuit of that child. And you would probably call the police and the fire department and maybe the FBI, I don't know, but you would call everyone you ever knew that might could help you in retrieving that child. And that's how Jesus is about His lost. He wants us to be relentless in our pursuit of that child of His that's lost. And what happens when you find that child? Can you think of the joy you would have? That's the joy Jesus has when a new person comes to Him. It's the joy I have when a new person comes to Jesus. And I want this church to know that joy too. And if you've never led someone to Jesus, I promise you if you will get on your knees today and pray, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours, He will be faithful to you. I'm not trying to bludgeon you into this. I can't change anything. Maybe God changes a heart today. Maybe God changes yours. I love you, but He loves you more. I'm done.